feels peaceful in here. Amen? Anybody needed that today? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. I did. Well, good morning, church. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here. It's my honor to bring God's word to you this morning. I'm excited to do so. Can you believe it is December? What happened to 2019? Amen? No more teens, church. One more month. 2020. I'm very excited about 2020. I don't know about you. I'm very, very excited about 2020. God's going to do some amazing things, not only in our lives, not only in this community, not only in this church, but I believe in America. God is going to do amazing things in 2020. Amen? But we can't fizzle out. We got to stay strong. We got to end strong. We got to look to the King and ask Him what He wants to do in and through us. Amen? I pray your Thanksgiving was good. Did y'all eat too much? Oh, yeah. Man, why'd I get more response from that than anything else? Come on now. Nobody in the turkey coma still, are you? The Pentecostal church, that don't happen here. Amen? We got to wake up. Welcome to the second week of our Advent series, The Cast of Christmas. Here at First Open Bible, every Advent season, we like to provide each family one Advent family devotional. Last week, we handed out a ton of them, over 100, 120 or something like that. It was a ton. We only have a few left, but they're in our foyer. We want to invite you, as you're on your way out today, feel free to grab one per family. We want to give them all away to you. If you didn't get it last week, feel free to grab one. Read with your family. They're small little devotionals. There's two pages. They go along with the sermon series and whatever the pastor is preaching that week. And it's something to just to carry on that move. Carry on what God is saying and dig deeper into His Word and dig deeper into what God is saying each and every week. I don't want you to get ahead. If you're behind, catch up. I don't want you to get ahead because we all need to read in unity. Amen? Something powerful with unity. Then on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve, we have one last devotional to read before the arrival of our Savior on Christmas Day. Amen? You don't have plans on Christmas Eve, by the way. We have a Christmas Eve service here at 6:30 to 7:30. It's just 1 hour. It's going to be awesome and totally different than you've ever seen before in here. And I'm very, very excited for it. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to honor the Lord. So for the ones that have the devotionals last week, have you been enjoying them? Three people. Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad we handed out 120. Three people enjoy them. The rest of you, it is a nice coaster for your cup. Hallelujah. It's really soft. It's great. Everybody in your family can use it. It's wonderful. If you've been reading it, have you been enjoying it? Amen. 7, 8, 9. Wonderful. 9 people. The rest of you, don't forget, you picked up something from the church. You should read it. Amen. We'd love for you to catch on. If you need to catch up today or tonight, whenever you want to read it, we're on day 8, the angel's proclamation. So I'm going to tell you this wonderful true story, okay? It's this awesome story about a Christmas tradition. It takes place between a man named Larry Krunkel and his brother-in-law, Roy Collette. The story reported some time ago in the New York Times, and it goes like this. In 1964, Larry's mother gave a pair of moleskin pants to Larry. Since the pants froze in the Minnesotan weather, so what did Larry do? Larry regifted them to his brother-in-law. Roy returned the gift to Larry at a later Christmas by wrapping the pants in a 1-inch pipe. They passed the pants back and forth every year for 25 Christmases. The packaging became more and more difficult to open. Roy sent the pants to Larry in a 600-pound safe that he welded shut. The next year, Larry responded by sending the pants in a 3-foot cube that at one time had been a 1974 Gremlin. A note attached to the scrunched car said this: "The pants are in the glove box." Roy later sent the pants back in an 8-foot tire. I can't even stretch that far. Filled with 6,000 pounds of concrete with a note that said, "Have a good year." The tradition ended when Roy tried to have the pants encased in 10,000 pounds of jagged glass. But during the process, some of the molten glass burned the pants to ashes. What an awesome tradition, huh? Some unwanted pants passing back and forth. I don't know about you, but I'm a numbers guy. I was thinking, how much money did that cost to send? I hope they live close. That's crazy. See, there are other traditions and things that we do, and we don't really know why we do them. Do you ever ask yourself some of the sayings that you say, and you're like, why did I say that? Where did they even come from, right? First off, like the one I've used before, sleep like a baby. Oh, really? You want to wake up every 2 hours, wet yourself, cry, and be hungry? That's what you want to do? I like the saying, sleep like a rock. That's much better, right? But we say, I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. Oh, that's great. I can't wait to see the bags under your eyes. Fantastic. See, there's lots of traditions and things that we do that we really don't know why we do them. How about hanging up lights? Anybody hang lights upon their house or going to do that soon? Anybody? Okay, why do you do that? It's pretty. What's the tradition behind it? You ever ask yourself that? Why and what does it represent? What is the tradition? How about anybody have Christmas trees, right? Amen? Raise your hand. Some people ashamed of that. They're like, phew. You know? I do. Ever since I was a little kid, we've always had a Christmas tree. Growing up in Oregon, we had live trees. Why? Because we have trees everywhere. So who's going to miss one? So we go and cut down trees. It was always a family tradition. We've always had trees. Growing up, we've always had trees, and we even have trees now. But now ours are artificial, which I like because I don't have to worry about remembering to water them. If you've ever had a live tree and you don't water it, you will find out you should have watered it because there'll be needles and things all over your floor and it makes a giant mess. But we've always had Christmas trees, but how did the tradition ever get started? There are three major ideas of how it got started. Some believe it came from Roman mythology, which probably isn't a good thing. Others believe 16th century Germans, or maybe Martin Luther started this whole thing. What I do know is this. None of those people can decorate a tree like my beautiful wife can. That's what I do know. She got mad skills, church, right? Five people clapping because they've seen it before. She's got skills to decorate that tree. See, much of the world takes a moment to pause for this Christmas holiday, even though many people don't even know why. When looking at the Advent story in the Bible, it's almost impossible to not run into a proclaiming angel. When we look at the first proclamation of Christmas, it came from heaven to earth, and it came through the voices of angels speaking to the shepherds. This proclamation reminds us of why behind all the things that we are doing during this season. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says this. In the New King James Version. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace, goodwill toward men." That first Christmas pageant was written and sung by messengers from heaven. Multitude of angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and goodwill toward men." Why? Because the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. This peace that the angel proclaimed was not a proclamation of world peace, right? Peace, bro, peace, dude. Peace in the Middle East, right? Let me just break it down for you for a second. There will never not be war. Even Jesus comes to make war. Again, he's going to set it. He's going to set it right. So if you think that there's going to be world peace, there won't be. Why? There's a thing called sin, hate. So this peace that the angels proclaimed It's not a declaration to end all strife and end all war. It's not a direct announcement that now you're going to get along with your neighbor. Hallelujah. No, it's much bigger and much more important than that. Through Jesus, the barrier of sin has been removed. And now we have relationship and we have peace with God again. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 in the NLT says this: "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we were certainly be saved through the life of his Son." So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus has made us friends of God. Praise God, amen? See, we are enemies of God because of sin, but God. See, God had a rescue mission, and it was proclaimed from a multitude of angels, and this mission was a mission to send his son Jesus to lay in a manger, to lay on a cross, then to lay in a tomb. Then 3 days later, to get up and out of that tomb. Because the tomb is empty, church. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. Our Savior, Messiah, Emmanuel, he is alive. Praise the Lord. Because of this, we have been reconciled back to God. Because of this, Jesus brought peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. No wonder the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest. Because Jesus brought us peace with God, one of the greatest responses, church. See, one thing we can do, and we can make a big mistake, church, is this: listening to the Word of God and doing nothing about it. Let me tell you, I got bad news for you, I got good news for you. You are responsible for what you hear this morning. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Amen? So our job is to listen to God's Word and then go and do it. See, one of the greatest responses we can have to this amazing news that these angels 2,000 years ago proclaimed is to become peace proclaimers as well. We can do that in our Christmas traditions, in our Christmas preparations, in our Christmas celebrations. See, the truth is this: most families experience relational pressure and difficulties during the holiday season. Y'all can amen that. Come on now. Y'all got no family issues? You don't? Okay. Nearly every family gathering has at least one relative who requires extra grace. I got bad news. If you don't know who that is, that's you. Isn't everything great? Oh, right? You ever seen that movie Home? Right? It's like a little kid movie. And they call him O because he goes up, "Hey guys, O." Right? His name's O because everybody doesn't want to see him. But he doesn't know. He's so naive to that. Extra grace. That's probably you. See, for many families, the truth is Advent and Christmas actually brings more strife and conflict rather than peace. Holidays aren't always easy. Amen. But I'm here this morning to remind you of peace we have with God through Jesus and how we have a special opportunity to proclaim peace in and to our families this Advent season. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says this. Jesus is telling us this: "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." This passage shows us that those who count them on themselves being children of God, they have to join him in the work of proclaiming his peace and making peace with others. Peacemaking and peacekeeping, they are not the same thing. Church, I am preaching better than your amen in this morning. I just got Brother Bob over here saying amen. That's all I hear. Brother Bob, you need to move up here. Amen. When Jesus brought us peace with God, he didn't create an uneasy truce. He brought us back into unity and harmony with God. See, Jesus didn't tolerate us. He restored us. the rescue mission didn't make way for God to just endure being with us. He made a way to be near to us and develop that love relationship with us and God again. Toward the beginning of the year, the United Nations, they have 16 peacekeeping operations around the world. The United Nations explain what they do in their operations this way, quote, "Our peacekeepers help prevent conflict, to reduce human suffering, build stable and prosperous societies, and enable people to reach their full potential," end quote. See, I pray the United Nations move toward peacemaking soon. Because all that peacekeeping is, it's a vast effort to prevent people from acting out of their hate that's deep in their hearts. I don't care how good you think you may be. God's word is true, and it says this: how wicked is our heart. How evil is our heart. Who could ever know it? And Jesus came to save us, right? But he also came for another reason: to transform our heart of stone and to make it a heart of flesh, to change it and to mold it. Everything good in you is not you. Everything good in you is Jesus. The only way we're ever going to have peace on earth is through Jesus Christ and through a changed heart because of him. See, peacekeeping tries to prevent conflict and tries to keep people from destroying each other. Man, can't we all just get along? Can't we just have peace? But peacemaking goes much deeper. Peacemaking is what God did for us through sending Jesus. Peacemaking restores relationship. Peacemaking brings harmony. It goes beyond avoiding and separating conflict. It brings restoration, relationship, and it brings unity. Peacemaking deserves to be proclaimed. Aren't you glad the angels didn't proclaim tolerance on earth and to those he decided to endure? That'd be you and you and you, especially you. Yeah, you know. Right? And on earth, God puts up with those who his favor rests upon. Praise God. In the highest, hallelujah. Man, wouldn't that have stunk? It would have been awful. Shepherds would have been like, thank you? What? Instead, Jesus brought us true peace with God. So the reality is this: many people in here today, the Christmas season is a reminder of the lack of peace that you have in your families and even in your own life. Many have conflicts with parents, children, brothers, sisters, even friends. And all we want to do is survive the holidays. I just want to get through this. Without the same old fight, with the same old antics that we experience every year. Many are struggling to keep it together, trying to cling to whatever peace we can hold on to. And in their own hearts, just want it to be over. May I proclaim this morning, there's more for you than that this Christmas season. Amen? As a son or daughter of God, because of Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection, you don't have to be a peacekeeper and try to survive the holidays. You can proclaim the good news of Jesus by being a peacemaker who lives, brings, and proclaims a peace that transforms and a peace that lasts. For example, let me give you an example real quick. Now, we all know this. We're all Americans, and this is something a lot of us struggle with. If you decided the only way that Christmas can be a success is by buying everyone what they want, even though you can't afford it, you're not proclaiming peace in your life, and you're not proclaiming peace in their life either. You're guaranteeing stress, guilt, and dissatisfaction in your heart. You're fostering entitlement in the ones that you love. See, that's the gift that keeps on taking. Hallelujah. MasterCard, Visa, right? American Express keeps on taking. Because the more entitled someone feels, the more they will demand. Try peacemaking. Let's try that. Sit down with your family and help them understand what you really want for Christmas and what you really want it to look like. And then give them a realistic expectation that they can have from you. If your children or your family can only be happy if they get everything they want, maybe you're going to do them a huge favor this year by disappointing them. Thank you. I didn't get what I wanted. Praise God. See, maybe you're going to be proclaiming peace in their hearts that's going to actually last the rest of their lives instead of a moment of joy on their face. See, there's going to not be any more life that's completely concerned with, consumed with, and centered on me. It's all about me. It's not about you. You should do things my way. I alone am God. See, that's what we do during the Christmas season for so many. Let me tell you something. That's not what Advent's for. It's not what Advent's about. Well, this is just one small example. It demonstrates the difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking. See, peacekeepers try to appease and patch together and keep everyone satisfied or just quietly disgruntled. Anybody in here want people to always like them? Anybody like that? Come on, be real this morning. Right? There's some verses in the Bible. See, I like when people like me too. I do. Some verse in the Bible that really messed that up. When it says, when you follow Jesus, you will be hated. Right? When you speak truth, did Jesus get ridiculed? Did he get hung on a cross because he kept peace? No, he hung on a cross because he made peace. Come on now. It's from the Holy Ghost. Peacemaking deals with the underlying issues and brings healing and restoration through real love. See, that's what God's Son did for us. See, what better way to proclaim and demonstrate what he has done for us by then doing it for your own family? One of the dangers of this season is getting so caught up in traditions and so wrapped up in trying to create the idyllic holiday that we forget what the real mission is. James 3, verses 17 and 18 in the NIV says this, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." This season, I am praying that God will give us the wisdom from heaven to show us when we should speak and then when we should let things go. I need that, church. I don't know about you. You know, what does God do about a loudmouth little boy? He turns him into a preacher. It's sometimes hard to be quiet. I don't know what you deal with, but we need wisdom from heaven to help us be peacemakers. One thing we could all learn is this: just because you're right doesn't mean you're being righteous. Don't get caught up in the unproductive arguments. Don't get caught up in the drama that's just going to sabotage your holiday season with your family again. To the best of your ability, try not to argue. Try not to always correct. Try not to fight and defend. Instead, choose peace. Fight for peace. I love this quote from Mark Twain. Quote, never argue with stupid people. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. End quote. You know, all good things come from God's word, because long before Mark Twain ever wrote that or said that, Proverbs 26:4 says this, "Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are." Now remember, if you're thinking of your family member right now, not only do you need peace in your life, you need to ask for forgiveness. Right now, God, give me more mercy and grace for that one. That just popped up like that. And if it's your spouse, right, same thing. Friend, family member, kid, whatever it is. God just did you a favor. He just reminded you of how you need to pray. I love what Pastor Stevens told me when I first became a pastor. We're talking about this people that maybe have takes a lot out of you, and he says, oh, you should praise God for that person because they're going to sanctify you. Praise God. Worthy is the King. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. See, peacemakers sometimes have to say hard things. I don't know if y'all heard me, right? Because you're probably talking. Peacemakers sometimes have to say hard things. Like, hey, I'm listening to the pastor, right? Quit talking to me. Talk to me in like 10 minutes when we're out there. Sometimes the loving thing is to stand up for what is true and what is right. Hey man, I don't like the way you're talking about that. I don't like the way that you're making fun of these people. I'm not listening to that no more. I'm out of here. But other times, the righteous thing to do is to lay down your need to be right. The loving thing is to avoid taking the bait and getting distracted, right? From the real mission, proclaiming Jesus and sharing the love of God with everyone and anyone who is ready and willing to receive it. That's why we, as peace proclaimers, need the wisdom from heaven. You're not going to do it with your own wisdom. You know how I know that? You would have already done it. Family would already be with more peace. This season, we should be more concerned, not less concerned, with proclaiming the peace of Jesus. We will all make connections and have conversations with people that only come around this time of year and during this season. Now is the time to pray for wisdom for those connections. Now is the time to consider how you can proclaim Christ through what you say and how you act. Now is the time to be pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. See, before we leave today, we're going to do something awesome. Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Before we leave today, we're going to pray for us, ourselves, but we're also going to pray for our families so we can proclaim God's peace like we have never, ever done before. If you typically have relational struggles during this season, remember that most people are not born annoying. They are not born rude. That is one rude, annoying baby, right? That's one opinionated baby and cruel little baby. That's a mean little baby, right? Remember, you're not born annoying, rude, and opinionated and cruel. Despite how they act, even your cousin Eddie, he was made in God's image. Remember that people become annoying, rude, and opinionated and angry because of what this world has thrown at them and how they chose to respond to it. A peacemaker will choose to get beyond that rough exterior. Zacchaeus, going to your house today. You, Matthew, tax collector, everyone hates, come and follow me. Hey, you, scum of society, fishermen, that's who they were back then. They were the worst. All y'all, come on, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus looked beyond that rough exterior, and if you want to be a peacemaker, you got to do the same thing. A peacemaker will show mercy and remember that even more than opinions, everyone ultimately needs Jesus. Church, listen to me now. The one thing we all share is brokenness. The one thing we all need is grace. And the one thing Jesus brought to all mankind is peace. Amen? In the midst of all the traditions, celebrations, connections this season, don't forget how precious people are to God. Even the most belligerent, difficult, and draining people are precious to God. So much so that Jesus came to earth so that they could also have peace with God, just like we do. Think real quick. When's the last time you argued somebody, right? Right into the arms of the Prince of Peace. Man, that argument was so good. I need that Jesus that you're talking about. Right? When's the last time that happened? Let's fight for peace, then love them into the kingdom of God. Peace is not easy, and many times it takes and feels like a battle. Amen to that? And you just want to knock them across the head, but you're like, oh, I need to go take a time out. I need some peace with God real quick, right? Don't act all righteous like you haven't thought that. Come on now. It's truth. No matter how hard it may be, peace is never easy, and you have to fight for it. You have to fight for peace. Even Jesus said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus didn't want to die on the cross. Jesus didn't want to get beat. Jesus didn't want to go through all that and nails in his hands and his feet, but it was God's will that was done, not his own. You got to fight for peace, just like Jesus did. This Advent season, what are you willing to fight for? I want to read you another story. When he was 63 years old, Alvin Straight got in a disagreement with his brother, Henry. Separated by 240 miles, the two never spoke or met again for 10 years. When he was 80 years old, Henry had a stroke. And when Alvin heard of the news, he decided it was time to reunite with his brother before it became impossible to do so. At the age of 73, Alvin's sight was too poor for him to get a driver's license. So Alvin looked and loaded up his trailer with gasoline, camping gear, and some food. And he hooked that trailer to the back of his riding lawnmower. And he set off to see Henry. At the top speed, 5 miles per hour. It took Alvin 6 weeks to make the 240-mile journey from Iowa to Wisconsin in order to make peace with his brother. 1 month later, Henry recovered from his stroke and he moved back to Iowa to be closer to his family. Peace proclaimers, claim peace. Even if it takes every day for 6 weeks to get there just to say something. Now, we all know we can't make anyone change. Can't make anyone do much of anything. But what you can do, you can do, is proclaim peace. How far are you willing to go to share the peace you have in Jesus with the people that you love during this Advent season? Are you willing to take the first step? Are you willing to stand this Christmas for peacemaking? See, Alvin Straight, he went 240 miles over 6 weeks on a lawnmower to be a peacemaker. And because of that, his relationship with his brother was restored. Jesus crossed the chasm of heaven to make peace with us. And angels came to earth to proclaim the good news. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For a baby has been born. Messiah, Emmanuel, King of the world. He has been born. In the midst of all our traditions, our celebrations, and even our obligations, will we put this same effort forward? Will our lives make the same proclamation? So here in a moment, Brent, if you just come up by yourself, please. We start playing. Before we have prayer teams that come up and we fill this place full of prayers of peace, before we finish up today, and we're going to pray for ourselves, and we're going to pray for our families, and we're going to pray for our situations, I want to read you one more powerful verse, a verse that I love and that I've spoken to other people about as well. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 18 in the NIV. It says this. I love this. Let me break it down. If it is possible, as far as it depends on who? You. As far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't be a peacekeeper, right? That allows people to keep wallowing in their sin, keep going out and doing the things that God doesn't call them to. Be a peacemaker. Speak up when you should and be silent when you shouldn't. And love them and remember, God made them in His image. And we should look past a lot of things. And remember as well, you don't know who that person needs extra grace? It's probably you. So maybe you need a little extra prayer this morning to be somebody who brings peace and not conflict to this season. Amen? Church, will you stand? Prayer teams, will you position yourselves here in the front and in the sides, in the back? Before we close today, I'm going to pray for us. And there are prayer teams. They're going to keep it confidential. Thank you. They're going to keep your prayers confidential. But they want to pray with you about whatever you face, whatever you're facing. You know what it's like during the holiday season. And maybe your heart is hurting, and maybe you're broken, or maybe you're not feeling well, or whatever's going on in your life. Or maybe you know that this might be the last Christmas with this person, or that person, or grandma, or grandpa, auntie, uncle, whoever is getting older. Or they're sick, or something's going on, or you keep having these battles that keep taking place. God wants peace. Peace, peace, peace. Precious peace for our families. But you can't be a peacemaker until you have peace in your heart. Until you understand what peace is, you can't give it. You can't give somebody something you don't actually obtain. You understand that, right? But we can obtain peace through Jesus Christ, who died for us, set us free. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't have this peace here on earth. It says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He set the captive free. He says that He went and that not one shall perish. If you think you've gone too far, if you think you've done too much, if you don't think you're worthy, welcome to the club. All of us are in that same boat. But Jesus says that He died for all. No matter what you have done, He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He will forgive you for anything you've done. And what's amazing too, as long as you keep seeking His face, He'll forgive you for anything you're about to do. This morning, I am a peace proclaimer. And I proclaim peace to you. Jesus loves you. And He invites you to know Him. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd love to, ask Him into your heart. Proclaim peace for your soul. Your soul is restless. It's hurting and it's broken, and God wants to come in and breathe life to it. Speak peace to it. If that's you today and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, will you raise your hand? I just want to acknowledge you. And I see the hand. Is there anybody else who wants Jesus Christ in their heart? Maybe for the first time. I saw one hand. Is there anyone else that says, I want to follow Jesus? I need that peace. Anyone? To my right, to your left, is there anybody in this section that hasn't raised their hand that says, I want Jesus in my life. I need peace in my life. I need the Lord. In the middle here, to my right, to your left, is there anybody in this section that says, I need Jesus? If you just raise your hand for the first time, says, I need Jesus. Is there anybody in this section, my left, your right, anybody in this middle section here says, I need Jesus. I need peace in my life for the first time. Says, I need to give you my heart. Thank you, Lord. My far left, the far right, whole section over here. Is there anybody over here that says, I need Jesus? Just raise your hand. I just want to acknowledge that. I need Him in my heart. I need peace. I need peace. Peace. Amen. Amen. Here in a moment, ask Miss Sue, come and pray. Somebody will raise their hand and I'll lead you. But everyone else, before we go today, you have family, you have friends. You need peace. These people have been prepared all week to pray for you and peace in your life. We can lower the lights. We're going to go ahead and worship. And feel free to come and get prayer for peace. We love you. We hope to see you on Wednesday or tonight for worship night.